Do you like that? Take your Bibles and turn to Luke 11 to start. We're going to learn some new things about prayer, maybe. Right. Now, when someone gives a speech, not me, because I don't usually do this part, but when someone gives a speech, like a politician, all these politicians are giving speeches and stuff, right? Do you remember what they say? Yeah? When someone gives a speech, what part of it do you remember? The jokes. You remember the jokes. When I was in seminary, we had all these you know, student sermons and special speakers and stuff, and they would come in. And I remember the jokes, okay? We remember funny stuff. We remember jokes, okay? We remember humor, which means we can teach through humor, okay? Notice I don't really do much of that. Have you ever noticed that I don't tell many jokes? It's because I don't know any good ones. Maybe you can help me on that, all right? But some of Yeshua, this might come as a surprise to some people, but some of Yeshua's teachings were brought home through humor. We lose it in the English, and we lose it in our culture. But a Hebraic culture of 2,000 years ago, and speaking in Hebrew, he said some really funny stuff. They were laughing. You don't see that in the movies, do you? In the life of Yeshua, you don't see him laughing and joking. No, all serious stuff. Not true. Okay, not true. He used humor. Some of the parables are word pictures that are a humorous mini-drama. It's a little drama thing that's funny, that doesn't go quite the way people think. It should, okay? They're dramatic stories of village life in Galilee. What's life like in the village, okay? Where everybody lives close, okay? Through these humorous mini-dramas, a lot of great and wonderful and powerful truth is taught. A powerful message on how God works among his people is given on the two we're looking at today. They utilize a form of teaching that's Hebraic called exaggerated character reversal. Okay, exaggerated character reversal. Through exaggerated characteristics of actions that are totally unlike God, he teaches what God is like. He goes to the opposite. This is what God is not like. And it's so exaggerated that it's funny. And you'll see, okay? It's a Hebraic method of teaching that works. You remember it. The two parables today utilize the Hebraic teaching method called Kal Vachomer. It's very common. You'll see it all through Yeshua's teachings and the rabbis of that time as well. That simply means going from the light to the heavy. Going from the light to the heavy. What does that mean? Every time you see this, the hinge phrase is this. So much more. How much more? And how much more? He'll say one thing and say, but how much more? That's the hinge word. How much more tells you what God is like, okay? How much more will be what he does? So watch for those in Yeshua's teachings, all through Luke and so on. Now, by giving a humorous characterization of what God is not like, he teaches his listeners what God is like. And they won't forget, because I mean, they laugh. It's lighthearted, okay? The stories describe God's character by comparing opposites. Now, the occasion for this was the disciples asked Yeshua a question. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Great question. Now, in Luke chapter 11, where we are right now, Yeshua begins his teaching on prayer by giving what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer, which is not what we're doing today, okay, because that'll be in our study of Luke and in the weeks to come. But then he illustrates how to pray. That's where we're going today, how to pray, okay? And so let's take a look. There's two parables. The first one's in Luke 11. We'll read the section and then go to the next section and then come back and talk about it. Verse 5. He gave the Lord's Prayer first, and then he goes on to how you do it. And he said to them, which of you? Now notice he's talking right to them, okay? Which of you shall have a friend? And go to him at midnight. Okay, who's going to do that, okay? And say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. In other words, an unexpected guest arrives at midnight, okay? And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise to give you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is the friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now, a little bit later, we're going to talk about what was just said, because in English, you just don't get it. Why are people laughing at this point when they hear this story? We're going to come back and tell you why, okay? But then he goes on to, that's the illustration, and then he goes on to teach on prayer. He says this, so I say to you, that's the, again, going back, because of what I just said, now I say to you, here's his teaching, I teach, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Now, what you've heard taught in the past, we'll see how it goes, but what he is saying here goes back to that word persistence, which we haven't defined yet. So the kind of asking and kind of knocking hinges on persistent. What does that word mean? It's a Hebrew word. We'll come back. Just hang on. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. For if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, by the way, they were laughing at this point. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, there's your how much more, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Why would they be laughing at that point? Hang on, we'll come back. Okay, now flip ahead to Luke chapter 18 for the second part of this. Scholars think these two stories originally were together. Then why are they separate in Luke? Luke 18. Okay, this may come as a surprise to you. Some of the answers to seeming contradictions in the Gospels have to do with Yeshua said stuff more than once. He told the same stories over and over again. If you go to a different community, do you have to invent new stories and new teachings? No. The bottom line is this. If a sermon's worth giving once, it's worth giving over and over again if you travel. Okay? So he would give the same kinds of sermons in different places. So when you see one a little bit different, a small variation, it was because that group he was giving it to a little bit different. So chapter 18. This is fun. And he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Now, that's the key right there, okay, to the prayer part, to pray always and not lose heart. In a certain city, there was a judge. This is not the kind of judge you want, okay, who did not fear God nor regard man. Whoa. Now, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice from me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me. Boy, our English waters that word down. You wait till you hear the word. But because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Okay? Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. He wants you to listen to what this guy said, because it's a teaching on prayer. And then he adds this, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you, will he avenge them speedily? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Well, that depends on your definition of faith. Well, he gives it to us in this. We'll come back to all that. Okay, the exaggerated behavior of the person who refused to help his neighbor in need. Okay, it was an exaggerated behavior. And the judge, who did not care about a poor, helpless widow. Do you hear the Jewish guilt yet? A poor, I think you should talk like that. It was a poor, helpless widow, okay? Because in all of our Jewish jokes today, we bring, how many Jewish mamas does it take to, you know what I mean? Okay, same kind of a thing, okay? You know the story. Here comes a joke for Cindy. How many Jewish mamas does it take to fix a light bulb? It's burned out. One. Yeah, one. Because she says, it's okay, I'll just stay here in the dark. Yeah. It's fixed, okay? That's what this is all about. They were joking about this kind of stuff, okay? All right. The judge who did not care about the poor widow, the whole thing is reversed in the character and behavior of God. He's the opposite of these people. For those listening, the people listening, it would be absurd to think that God would behave in such a manner. not to listen to a widow or not to help somebody in need. God is the opposite of the bad neighbor. God is the opposite of a corrupt judge. Better think in terms of the judge, because God is the judge. Okay, but he's not that kind of a judge. Yeshua is teaching about prayer by illustrating the character of God. If you know what God is like, then you know what prayer is like and how to pray. God is a good friend, and God is a righteous judge. The theme of this whole thing is persistent prayer. See, what's happened in the last 2,000 years of watered down a Christianity, we get taught about how to pray. It's not biblical. It's not Jewish. It's not a Hebraic a perspective. And it's really watered down. Okay? Let's take a look at what this is all about. It's more than persistent, by the way. In the Middle Eastern culture of that time, if you were asked for help and didn't give it, okay, your name and reputation would be ruined in your community. It's as simple as that. All right? And that's the picture that's being painted. Okay? They knew, those people listening knew, that the request at midnight will be honored. You have to do it. Even by a neighbor you don't like, you have to do it, okay? He asks, which of you? Well, we would all do the right thing, okay? Which of you would behave that way? Well, nobody would. The man in the house, okay, had obligations to his neighbor, who was outside knocking on the door, who in turn was obligated to provide a meal for his unexpected guests. Obligation down the line, all right? And by the way, in a small village in Galilee, whatever goes on, everybody knows about it. And at midnight, how quiet is it? Do you hear? What do you need? I need some bread. Everybody knows. Okay, everybody knows. Okay, the response though was unexpected. Okay, because this guy breaks the rules of village etiquette. Okay, he's not going to get up. You're kidding. He's not going to get up. Everybody gets tuned in. So what will the neighbor on the outside do that's asking for the bread? He just was told no. What's he going to do, go home and get mad? No, he keeps on knocking louder and louder and louder until he's banging on the door. He keeps on knocking, which goes back to our other verse. Keep on asking, keep on knocking, okay? And how long does he do it? Until the guy gets up. Pretty soon the guy's going to get up. That happens to me every now and then when my dog starts barking at my window at night. About 5 barks, I get up and go speak Yiddish to the dog, and he goes back to bed. Try it. It works. Okay. But he keeps on knocking, and everybody knows he would do that. That's what he would do. But the door is not opened because he loves his friend, okay, but because of the guy's persistence. And that's what's funny. They will say, yeah, you're right. He'll never go away. You know, how long will it take till the guy gets up, okay? Because they're laughing. That's what we would do. We just keep on banging and getting and embarrass him until he gets up and helps us. But the issue is, but God is not like that. That's the point. God is not like what this guy's like. You know, if you have a need, ask him, and he meets that need. He's teaching by contrast the nature of God. Okay, the judge, the corrupt judge. He doesn't care about people or God. Okay, wow, that's not very good. And you know what? When Yeshua said that, why do I think the people were laughing right at that point? Because they were probably thinking, I know just who you're talking about. I know that guy. We know one just like that, okay? See, justice is not his concern. Okay, he does what he wants, okay? And Hebraic thought of that time, when they hear that, they go, how can this possibly be that there's a judge that won't even help a poor widow? How can this be? Yet, here's the story, okay? But it goes down to that word persistence is in both of the stories. In English, you know, whatever you think of now, when I say a persistence, but in Hebrew thought, it means boldness, audacity, brazen nerve, tenacity. Do people come to your mind? Okay. Guts, relentless diligence. And the Hebrew word for that is chutzpah. And in your Hebraic translations, that's the word that's used. It's chutzpah. Okay. They both had chutzpah. Okay? That's something that Gentiles need to learn, all right? His focus is the character of the judge. He's not doing so good. The widow cannot plead her case on the basis of justice. No one's going to listen. Doing the right thing, it doesn't matter. So she's at a loss. No one will do the right thing. The judge has total control of the court. But, you think? Who's in control here? But the tenacity, the chutzpah of the widow proves to be more effective. Okay, you just gotta hang in there, okay? She wouldn't give up. She wouldn't quit. against all odds, okay, the chutzpah wins. Think about that. Think about it. So, the point of the story is, if an unjust judge can be persuaded to act justly because of the chutzpah of a helpless widow, how much more? There's the how much more. Will God answer the persistent prayers of his children? The persistent prayers? The chutzpah prayers? You got it. You got it. Persistence or chutzpah was her only weapon. And widows can use it well. Little old ladies can use it well. And again, the humor would be, they might be saying, we know just who you're talking about. She lives right over there. Okay, we know who that is. Okay, we know. When we want to get something done, we send her. Who comes to your mind? Don't say a name. Okay. Now, the character of the judge wasn't changed. His character stayed the same. But he ends up acting justly, okay, just to get relief. All right, how do you spell relief? The widow's chutzpah literally beats the judge into submission. That's the picture. That's why they were laughing, okay? The word that's used, we so lose it. The way it was used in Greek and in Hebrew 2,000 years ago was that kind of persistence is she's in his face. And it's getting louder and louder and louder and louder. Boy, this is a good day to do this. The next move is that she literally punches him in the eye. Literally. That's the word. Look it up. And so I have a black eye today, right? And I'm not going to point that out. But she literally punches him in the eye, so he stops short of that. He says, I know what's next. Okay, just to get rid of you, I'll do this. So, it's a vivid picture. So he'd be laughing. Yeah, we know what's next. She'll do it. And if the widow does that, what are you going to do? Well, nothing. You're not going to do anything, right? So you better give her what she wants right now. All right? It's also a teaching. Remember, Yeshua brought the word in about faith. It's a teaching about faith, faith and prayer. Faith is demonstrated, from a Jewish perspective, faith is demonstrated by tenacity in prayer. Not just saying something soft and sweet once, but tenacity. The effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You're talking about different kinds of prayer. Okay, this is prayer boldness, tenacity, chutzpah prayers. But the key to understanding all these things is in 18, verse 1. Yeshua is teaching people to pray at all times, but not to lose heart. That's the point. Don't lose heart. So he brings up one difficult situation, one impossible situation. But he says the prayer will be answered. Hang in there. Use some chutzpah. Now, the friend inside the house there, the response wasn't because of the friendship, but because of chutzpah. The widow's petition, okay, she petitioned for her own need. It was met. Okay, the friend petitioned for the need of somebody else, intercession. It was met as well. Okay, petition and intercession. It's two different kinds of prayer, both with chutzpah. They're both to be bold, and they're both to be persistent. Now, back to Luke chapter 9, a couple of pages back. Again, now we come back to the ask and knock and seek that you've heard 100 times, okay? But putting that into perspective with the chutzpah and the verbs that are there, it's continuous action. They don't stop. What this is saying is you keep on asking. You keep on seeking, and you keep on knocking. I'm going to tell you when to quit in a minute, okay? You keep on asking. You don't stop. So the structure of all this, it's an outline in prayer. Well, there's a need. You present the need before the Lord, but you ask boldly and persistently with chutzpah, and you keep doing it. Everyone who uses persistence in prayer, what this is teaching, will receive the answer. So what it says, that is what it says, all right? The little widow, it worked out for her, okay? Now, we have some examples of people with chutzpah in Scripture. There's a ton of them. In Luke, I'll just give you a couple today. Remember last week, our study on Thursday night, in Capernaum, the paralytic on the stretcher couldn't walk. Big crowds at Peter's house, couldn't get in the door. They take the roof apart and lower the guy. That's chutzpah, okay? Take the guy's roof apart and lower the guy down. That's boldness. That is boldness, okay? There was the woman with the issue of blood. The big crowd, they were putting her aside. No. She gets through the crowd, reaches out and grabs Yeshua, the tzitzit. She grabs the fringes. That's chutzpah. The blind man who was in the crowd, Yeshua was coming. He calls out, Son of David, have mercy on me. They said, be quiet, be still, get back. He shouted louder and louder. This is his only chance, okay? Yeshua stopped. It got his attention. All right? He had chutzpah. He's not going to listen to these guys. They say, sit down and be quiet. You got to be kidding. I want to see. He can heal me. And he's calling out for mercy. But the list goes on. There are many of those examples. And how many times does Yeshua talk about your faith has done this? It's a chutzpah kind of faith. Boldness brought about a certain response. True faith has action. Faith without works is dead. But he's saying, but don't lose heart. Some people lose heart and they quit. Doesn't that apply to all of us? Okay, why? It just seems that sometimes our prayers aren't answered, doesn't it? But maybe it's like they're not answered in the time that we want. Like, I pray, okay, Lord, now. I want right now. Now. Now would be good. And looking back on my life, when I pray those kind of prayers, what I find was, well, now wasn't, it was the right thing, but at the wrong timing. That wasn't time for that. I'm asking for the right stuff, but it's not now, it's for later. Can you be patient? Oh, patience is tough, I don't know. But sometimes it's a timing issue, all right? Answer to prayers can be delayed. We saw that in the book of Daniel. Okay, the evil angels held up Daniel's answer to prayer. It was sent out the first day he prayed. There's other reasons, but sometimes God says, wait. I want you to wait on that. It's a not now, but it will be. We saw that in the book of Acts. And they waited. And then the day came where God said, now go here. And you. He said, you, now go here. So when do we quit? Okay? When do we quit? Well, the answer is when you hear from God. Don't quit until you hear from God. I heard from God on this. Okay, boldness with persistence until your need is met. Not just a one-time thing. You're hanging there with persistent prayer. Boldness and persistence, tenacity, until the answer comes. Until you have a peace in your heart that God has answered your prayer. It may be different than the way you prayed it, but the answer came, and you have a peace about that you've heard from him, and it's okay. This is okay. But that you're not to quit until you that happens. Some people lose heart. That's the point. Are there any of you here today who have lost heart over something you've asked for, hasn't come quite at the speed you want? I think so. And you've quit over something that was once really important to you, but you quit. I'm telling you, don't quit. Bring it up again. Resurrect it, okay? Are you willing to bring life back to that need if it's still there in your heart? If that need is still there, can you bring life back to it? Can you talk to God about it? Okay, say, I have to have a peace, Lord, one way or the other on this, okay? But we're afraid of disappointment, aren't we? Where does fear come from? Not from God. Yeah, disappointment, I don't like that. I don't like that a lot. Yeshua said, pray always and don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. You know, well, God always answers our prayers better than the way we ask them. You ask for one thing, he'll give you three, okay? There's a specific thing that you feel you need, and he doubles it. It's not quite what you thought. It's better than what you thought. That's the way he works. How much more will he give good gifts to his own children, okay? And then James, Yaakov, gives us this great one-liner, you have not because you ask not. Don't quit. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. Now, Wednesday night, I gave you all an assignment. Some of you did your assignment because you told me. You were to read the book of Hebrews. And if you read that, you got a blessing. Guaranteed. Hebrews 4:16, right toward the front, says this. Uses the word. Let us come boldly. That's with tenacity, with chutzpah, to the throne of grace. You see, some people's concept of as they approach God is like, with all this fear. How can he write this? Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Anybody have needs? So what are your needs? Keep on acting, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and don't lose heart. How does this work? In Hebraic thought, it's a matter of the family structure. Okay, it's the family structure. If you're a daughter of the king, you get to come into his room anytime you want, okay, and say, I need something, Dad. I need it right now, okay? It's not that you have to put in the request, you know, all the administration. No, if you're his daughter, you can come with boldness. In a Jewish family, does the daughter approach her dad with boldness? You bet! Daddy, I need a wedding. It's going to cost $10 million. No problem. Elope. The point being is, though, that this is within the context of a Jewish family structure. It's the parents are approachable with boldness, with tenacity. Okay, it looks like they're fighting. They're not. They're reasoning with one another. But the issue is you have the right as one of his children to approach him in that manner, and that totally goes against how we're taught to pray. Okay, so let's resurrect some spunk here, some boldness, some tenacity, and start praying stuff powerfully. Because you, what this is saying is you have the right to do that. You're his child. He's your Abba, your father. Okay? Walk into his presence, the throne of grace, to the throne, and say, I really need this bad now. Sit on his lap. That is the picture, by the way. It's an intimate relationship, of a love relationship, a parent to child, of saying, it's okay, come here, what is it you need? You see, what the child needs is different than what all his friends need if you're the dad. Okay, if you're holding your child. And so let's do the grandchild world. I'll get my picture out of Isabella. She's walking. She's not quite talking yet, but I can tell you now how the conversation goes. If she comes up and sits on my lap, I'll do Tatum. This does work. This is as recent as last week. Tatum comes up and she's three. Sits on my lap, kisses me. Tells me, she says, I love you, Grandpa. And what's next? I want. And what happens? She gets. She has the right to do that, and it works, because my heart melts. Like my thinking is, whatever you want is yours. Okay, whatever it is. But that's the picture. That's the picture. Let's pray like that. Act like who you are. Okay? Persistence. Pray and don't lose heart. The things that are important to you, pray until you get it. He wants to give you more than what you're asking for. Okay? He really does. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. For your teaching on prayer is so different. And these people were laughing because they were connecting with the family and the structure and the community and realizing that if we apply this to prayer and to our spiritual family, that we have the right to approach you. And how much more are you willing to give us the things than the people around us who cut us short? Lord, I thank you that the picture that's given here is that you are willing and able and ready to give abundantly when we ask. And that the faith and the action comes in when we are persistent. And we're going to hang in there until the answer comes. Lord, resurrect those things in us that we've lost heart over. Give us new life in those things that we might pray and seek your will and do your will. And we thank you for your teachings. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Let's all stand.